Chapter 10. Lord Celestant Tylos Stormbound. Sigmar's light envelops me, blazing white, blue, and finally crimson as it cooks our enemy alive. As the paladins advance in their hulking star-forged armor, they dwarf the surrounding liberators, and each blow from their massive lightning hammers rocks the courtyard, scattering blood warriors and smashing craters in the ground. They look like gods torn from the heavens, and as I lead them into the enemy, the ground shatters beneath their wrath. Hundreds of my liberators are wounded, limping and staggering as they lash out with their hammers, but they hold their formations and advance close behind us. Zarax tenses beneath me and unleashes another bolt of celestial fire. Finally, we're making some headway. The lines of Chaos Knights are thinning and drawing back. The paladins are clearly too much for them. I wave the army on as Zarax tears into the reeling enemy warriors. Only at the last minute do I realize that this is too easy, too quick. My instinct screams out at me that we're being tricked, and I shout an order, halting the advance. As the liberators lock their shield walls back into place, I see that I was right. The space that opened up before us is not the sign of a retreat. The smirking Chaos Champion is ordering the bulk of his army to back away from us, making way for some new strategy. He barks out a command, and his army parts, creating an avenue of armor and axes. The ground judders as though a stampede is approaching. From my vantage point on Zarax's back, I am the first to see the cause of the thundering ground. Hundreds of skinless horrors charge from the opening in the enemy ranks, pounding across the courtyard towards us. They're all 8 or 9 feet tall and lashed in glistening, blood-slick muscle. Tentacles burst from their raw, wound-like flesh as they hurtle towards our lines. We now have blood warriors on either flank, and these newcomers charging us head-on. I act fast, ordering the prosecutors into the fray. Drusus leads them over the battlements, dodging blasts of crimson from the walls as he hurls his lightning-charged hammers at the monsters. More detonations rock the anvil, and the world turns white. But when the blaze dims, the monsters are still there. I manage to cry, "Charge!" seconds before they wade into us. Revolting tentacles lash out from their armored shoulders, hammering down against our rows of shields. Dozens of liberators are forced to their knees, but others rush to take their place. Zarax does not wait for me to spur her on. She bounds forwards, crashing through the golden ranks of Stormcast Eternals and fastening her jaws around the head of the nearest monster. I bring Grias down into the head of another, and as it reels away from me, blood trailing from its obscene maw, a paladin pounds through the crush and lands his blazing two-handed hammer between its cloven feet. The creature is eviscerated, but the explosion also jolts Zarax to one side. She staggers, almost throwing me from her back. Bodies crash into my steed, and the echo of the blast grows louder. The ground shakes harder, as the noise becomes a deafening rumble, and I ride on through the scrum of bodies. The monsters have forced us back through the archway. Hundreds of my men are now outside the anvil, being driven slowly back towards the fields of blades. I yell a command, but my words are drowned out by the rumbling noise. It sounds like the world is being torn in half. The tremor is now so violent that the walls around the gatehouse are crumbling and splitting. I look up, expecting to see the crimson moon overhead again, but the sky is empty. Then I see Drusus. His incandescent wings hurl him through the darkness, lighting up the expressionless masks of the other prosecutors. "Pull back!" he cries, catching sight of me. I shake my head, outraged by the suggestion of retreat, but then look up in shock. Weapons and shields are lowered as everyone in the passageway takes in the bizarre sight unfolding within the anvil. The cloud-high spikes that jut out of the watchtowers have started to move, and the battle is forgotten as we all turn to stare. The rumbling is now so loud the cause is unmistakable. The Carval Steppe is in the grip of an earthquake. The huge talons around which the anvil has been built are juddering like wind-lashed trees. We're forced back, reeling out of the passageway as it collapses around us, filling the air with dust and spinning fragments of rock. A few hundred of the Chaos Knights stagger into the fields of blades with us, and we quickly dispatch them. But most remain trapped in the huge crush of bodies that fills the courtyard.
"Lord Celestant," says a voice from behind me.
I look down from Zarax to see Boreas striding through the field of blades. He looks no different, but as he reaches my side, the scent of death pours from him. He reeks of the grave. "What have you wrought?" I ask, looking from my brother to the tumult that surrounds us.
"Lord Celestant," he says, "we must back away from the anvil."
"This is our only path."
"Trust me," he says,
and there is an uncharacteristic note of urgency in his voice that makes me listen.
"Fall back!"
I cry, pointing Grius at the field of blades. We barely make it clear in time. As my army floods into the rows of broken swords, the rumbling sound behind us becomes deafening. An oceanic roar, followed by masonry whistling past my ears, as huge chunks of stone slam into the ground all around me, I glance back and see what Boreas has done. The talons at the center of the watchtowers have risen into the sky, like the shoots of a strange plant. As they rise, they're tearing the anvil apart, creating a new wall of dust and crimson light. As the spikes rise higher, I see that they form the spine of an enormous, fossilized serpentine skeleton, a snaking mass of ancient bones big enough to dwarf a mountain.
"They never knew,"
cries Boreas over the din.
"They built the anvil on the back of a fossil."
I try to speak, but my words are lost beneath a new sound. As the mountainous, twisting skeleton rears up into the clouds, shrugging off the anvil like a coat, it opens its jaws and bellows. The sound is unbearable, a cry of torment so loud that my ears ring when it ceases. The ground rolls like a storm-lashed sea, and whole towers fall from the sky. I'm blinded by dust and deafened by falling rocks, but my mind is racing. The Blood Warriors were still inside the courtyard. Nothing could survive this. I see Boreas up ahead and stare at him. Who could summon such a thing from the grave? What has my brother become?